My prayer for you today is that you would get a bigger view of God's love, that you would go home today saying, I always knew that God loved me, but I never knew He loved me like that.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I think many of us have probably heard the phrase, Jesus loves you, but we don't really understand the depth of His love. And it sounds like we're getting into that today.
Oh yeah, and from a marvelous scripture from John and chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, Jesus says. So a believer is the gift of God the Father to God the Son. So think of this, Steve, that the Father says to the Son, I'm giving Steve Hiller to you. I'm giving Colin Smith to you. Put your name in that as we listen to this promise today. Jesus speaks of believers as the gift of the Father given to him. And that's a very, very special love because it's a personal love. And I really want you to get a bigger view of God's love through the program today.
Well, we see that in John chapter 6, verse 37. So open your Bibles, join us there. As we continue the message, Jesus will welcome you. Here is Pastor Colin.
Whoever comes to me, Jesus says, these are marvelous words, I will never drive away. Now, how good it is for us just to take these words in. When you come to Jesus Christ, He is there for you. When you draw near to Him, He is ready to receive you, and He gives you His word, I won't ever drive you away. It's interesting, and I think it's significant that the word comes here is in the present continuous tense, is coming. Whoever is coming, I will not drive away. Whoever's in the process of coming, we might say. Whoever's on his way to me or on her way to me, I will never cast them out. Think in your mind's eye of the prodigal son on his way home. He started the journey away from the pigs where he's been. He's not yet back to the Father, but he's on the way home. That's what Jesus is talking about. He hasn't arrived yet. Whoever is coming to me, I will never drive them away. Bunyan has this marvelous comment. He says, Jesus Christ has his eye upon, and he takes notice of the first moving of the heart of a sinner after himself. So if you have the first stirring of being drawn to Jesus Christ, the first sense that you're not content to live with your life as it is, being about yourself, the first inkling that you want to move away from your sins, the Son of God sees you coming. The Son of God has his arms, as it were, stretched out. He sees the first movement of your heart. He already knows who the Father has given to him, so he is watching to see this movement and doing so with joy. So I want to encourage you, if you see the faintest stirring within your own heart towards the Lord Jesus Christ today, you have every reason for hope in him. So use this as an incentive to speed your path to Jesus Christ today. See, think about the prodigal son. Remember Jesus' famous story about the guy who leaves the father and wastes all his resources and eventually comes to the end of himself and begins the long journey home. How fast do you think he walked? I don't think he walked very fast. I expect that in his mind he was anticipating a long lecture about wasted money, wasted gifts, and wasted years. Maybe that is one reason why he stayed away so long. But now he is so desperate, he thinks he has no other alternative, and so he begins this long, weary trudge home. And he's on the way. Put yourself in his shoes. You expect to be hauled over the coals. And then as you're trudging your way forward, what happens? You hear a voice. It's a familiar voice, and it's calling your name. And you look up, and it's Father. And he's running towards you. And as he gets nearer, his robes up around his knees, running as best he can, His arms are outstretched, and as he gets nearer still, you see there are tears running down his face. Do you walk towards him quicker or slower when you see that? You see, it is the knowledge of the love of Christ, the welcome of Christ. When you see that, it will hasten your progress to faith in him. That is why in every presentation of the gospel, we must always make clear the love of Jesus Christ, the eye of Jesus Christ and the heart of Jesus Christ towards every person who will come to him. Listen to what he says. Whoever comes to me, I will not ever drive away. So use this as an incentive to come to him. As you come to Jesus Christ, you lift up your eyes, as it were, and look forward and take in this picture of Jesus Christ ready to welcome you, there for you, already knowing that you're coming because he knows who the Father has given, and full of joy in his heart to receive you. And when you have come to him, you will be able to look back, and behind you, you will see the giving of the Father and the drawing of the Father, and your heart will be full. Now, that is the marvelous teaching of this word of Jesus Christ. I want to take just a few minutes now to apply it to us, because we've learned what Jesus says. It's very clear. It's not difficult to understand. I want us to see how we are to use what Jesus says here in our Christian lives. Let me suggest three ways. I'll focus on the first two. Use this truth that we're learning today. Will you use this truth to strengthen your grasp of God's love for you? And I'll tell you, this has been my biggest prayer for today, or at least one of them, that God will give to many of us today a bigger, stronger grasp of the dimensions of his love for you in Jesus Christ. Now, this is a big issue. In Ephesians, where Paul is praying for Christians, he says this: here's what I'm praying for you. What I'm praying for you, Paul says in Ephesians 3, is that you will know the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ. In other words, Paul recognized that among the Christians in that church in Ephesus, and this is true of Christians in every church, is true of us today, we find it very difficult to take in how much Jesus Christ loves us. So he says, as an apostle, I'm praying that the congregation will get a bigger view, a stronger grasp, a clearer glimpse of the love of God in Jesus Christ for every person here. I want that for you. I've been praying that for today. First, because however much you have grasped of the love of God, you've only grasped a tiny bit of it. And second, because many, many Christians have only a faint impression of the love of Christ, many Christians find it difficult to believe that God really loves you. You really do. You find that very difficult to get. Now, I'm saying I want you to use this truth that we're learning today in this one verse, so it's easy for you to get hold of. I want you to use this truth to strengthen your grasp of Christ's love for you. Think about it. The Father knew everything about you before you were born. He knew all that you are, all that is in you. He knew everything you would ever do. And knowing everything about you, here's what he chose to do. He gave you to his Son. And here's something just as remarkable. The Son received the gift. The love of God is more personal by far than many Christians think. God loves the world. We rejoice in that. The Bible states it clearly. But there is more than that. To his own people, the Bible repeatedly makes clear that God, in a very special way, loves you. He has set his heart upon you. Paul puts it this way in Galatians 2:20, and this is something you can say as a Christian. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Behind Christ's death on the cross for you, and behind the story of how you have come to faith in him, stands the Father giving you to the Son, and the Son receiving you as the Father's gift to him. And I don't know if you can begin to picture this. It staggers my mind even to think about it, but to meditate on great truths, I think, is profoundly helpful. Picture this. The Father says, Son, I have a great gift for you. I'm going to give you. And he says, John and Jim and Mary and Melissa. And on he goes, thousands upon thousands and millions of names of people from every continent, every language, every nation, every generation in the entire history of the planet. And as you try to take in the magnificence of this scene, there comes a moment where you hear your name. I give, put your name in there, to you, son. The Father does not read these names, though they are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He does not need to read them because he knows them. The Father says, I give them to you. The Son says, I will redeem them. The Father says, I will draw them. And the Son says, I will receive them. I will never, never, never drive them away. And so my prayer for you today is that you would get a bigger view of God's love, that you would go home today saying, I always knew that God loved me, but I never knew he loved me like that. Use this truth to strengthen and personalize your grasp of the love of God for you in Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Jesus Will Welcome You. And we're going to pause here, but don't go anywhere. We're going to get back to the teaching in just a moment. Our message is part of a larger series entitled Rock Solid, where we're taking a look at seven promises Jesus makes to you. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can listen online. Come to openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free, or you can listen through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store. It's a great way to listen on the go whenever it fits your schedule. Let's get back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
The Father says, I give them to you. The Son says, I will redeem them. The Father says, I will draw them. And the Son says, I will receive them. I will never, never, never drive them away. And here's just one more thing that's of great importance here. Let me just touch on it more briefly. Use this truth to sustain your commitment to gospel ministry. Let me explain why I say that. This verse and these words of Jesus come at a time that really was not very encouraging in the ministry of Jesus. He had just fed the 5,000, multiplying loaves and fishes. And if you look back to verse 15, the crowd wanted to make Jesus king by force. They wanted to politicize Jesus, in other words. And Jesus knew that this is what they wanted to do, so he slips away from the crowd. He goes to the other side of the lake. The crowd come round the lake. They find him again. And then there's this discussion, which is the passage that we read. And Jesus says, verse 26, you're looking for me because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. He begins to speak to them about eternal life in verse 27. He speaks to them about faith in verse 29. He speaks to them about spiritual things. I am the bread of life, verse 35. So Christ now is giving the most glorious presentation of the most glorious truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking about faith and about eternity and about life. And you know how much interest these people have in these things? Zip. None. No spiritual interest. Verse 36, Jesus says, "You have seen me, and still you do not believe." Now, folks, where do you go from there if we're involved in ministry? If we're trying to reach others for the gospel, and we begin to speak about faith and about Jesus, the bread of life, and we begin to speak about eternal life, and the level of spiritual interest among people around us seems to be zero, where do you go from there? See, after a while, you get discouraged. You begin to think, maybe you should pack it in. Is it really worth it? Or the biggest pressure of all is this. Well, people really aren't interested in the words of Jesus. People aren't really interested in spiritual things. Let's find some other way in which we can help them. So how do you keep going? See, think of where Jesus is here. There's a group of people over here who want to politicize him, and there's a much larger group of people over here who have absolutely no interest whatsoever in spiritual things. So how do you sustain gospel ministry in that environment? Answer, Jesus says, all who the Father gives me will come to me. God sends his people into tough places. If we are to take the gospel to the world, that will mean taking the gospel to some highly resistant, unresponsive groups of people here and around the world. Paul did that on many occasions. One of them was in Acts in chapter 18. It's a fascinating story. He goes to a place called Corinth, which was the Las Vegas of the early world. And in Acts 18 and verse 5, Luke tells us that he gave himself exclusively to preaching to Jews and testifying about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 18 and verse 6 says that they opposed Paul and they became abusive towards him. So Paul goes into the Las Vegas of the early world. What does he get? Spiritual response? Zip. So where do you go from there? Well, he went next door and set up in the home of someone else. And what happened was that, in fact, the leader of the synagogue came and professed faith in Jesus Christ along with his family, and then a number of other people did as well. And here's the point. While Paul was there in that city of Corinth, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, spoke to him in a dream. And he said this, "Don't be afraid, keep on speaking, I am with you," the Son of God said, "for I have many people in this city." There are many people in this city who the Father has given to the Son. They haven't come to the Son yet, but because the Father has given them to the Son, they will come to the Son. So Paul, just you keep on doing what you're doing. This truth is the greatest truth I know in my own experience in sustaining gospel ministry. I think I would have given up by now if it was not for this truth. This truth to me is the greatest incentive I know for the work of evangelism. It really is. The Father has given people in this city to the Son. They don't know it yet, but they will come. And they will come through the sharing of the gospel. Perhaps through your sharing of the gospel, our sharing of the gospel. They will come because the Father will draw them, and nothing can stop that from happening. Their unbelief at this moment can't stop it from happening. Satan can't stop them. Sin can't stop them. The culture can't stop them. Not if you believe this. Persecution can't stop them. Jesus says, get it into your mind. This will sustain a life of ministry. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Folks, that is our guarantee of the progress of the gospel. That's it. Right there. So use this. Use this to strengthen your grasp of the love of God, and use this truth to sustain your commitment to gospel ministry. And just very briefly at the end, to use this to deepen your confidence and your joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Notice he doesn't say, whoever comes to me, I'll not drive away. That's true, but it's stronger than that. It's, I'll never drive away. In fact, in the words that Jesus used in the original there, it's doubly strong. It's like, no, not ever, ever. That's the kind of sense of it. No, never. This, in other words, is a wonderful, not only a wonderful incentive for sinners coming to Christ, I'll never drive you away. It is the most marvelous assurance for all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. He's saying, I'll never drive you away. Not now, not in the future, not ever. No, not ever, ever. So do you ever wonder if Christ will tire of you when he sees how weak your faith is? Answer from this text, no, never. Do you ever wonder if Jesus Christ will somehow lose interest in you because you have been slow to change and to grow as a Christian? Answer from this text, no, never. When you fall into temptation and you fail in some big kind of way and Satan says to you, well, there's not much future for you now, Jesus Christ isn't going to be able to use you very much now, Lord Jesus Christ would say to you this, I will never drive you away. No matter what failure there is in your life, as one who comes to Christ, you will never hear the Son of God say, I'm done with you. Never. No, not ever. So, come to him.
What an encouraging way to wrap up this broadcast, just being reminded of that truth, that promise that whoever comes to Jesus, he will never drive him or her away. Well, you're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message is called, Jesus Will Welcome You. And what a great promise for us to be reflecting on. Because, you know, when Jesus makes a commitment, when he makes a promise, you can be sure that he will keep it. And in our series, Rock Solid, we're taking a look at seven promises that Christ makes to you. We're looking at what Jesus said he would do, and then we're studying these promises and seeing the confidence that we can then have as we place our life into his hands. If you want to get a copy of the series for yourself, ask about Rock Solid when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365, or you'll find ordering information at openthebible.org. Well, if you're a regular listener to Open the Bible, you know that we depend on your financial generosity to keep Pastor Cullen's teaching available on the station each day. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you two copies of Pastor Cullen's new illustrated book called Christmas Stories. One copy for you, one to give away. And it tells the story of the birth of Christ from the perspective of five different Bible characters, from the angel Gabriel, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, even King Herod. And Colin, what is one thing that you would like people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I really hope and pray that when people read this, they will just have a fresh sense of wonder at what it meant for God to become a man in Christ Jesus, for the Lord Jesus to be born into the world and to become our Savior. It is indeed the greatest story ever told. And for it to be fresh and to be seen in its wonder is just a marvelous thing. But then I hope that having read it, people will take the opportunity to perhaps read one of these chapters at the dinner table at Christmas or at some other Christmas event where loved ones are gathered together. And you could just take this little book out, Christmas Stories, and you could say, let's take 5 minutes before we eat to read the Christmas story, or perhaps after the meal would be a good time to do it. It'll only take about 5 minutes at the most to read this, but it's a way of presenting to people you know and love who may be in your home and celebrating Christmas with you the good news of Jesus Christ so that eyes may be directed to him.
Well, we want to send you two copies of this book, Christmas Stories, as our way of saying thank you for giving a gift to Open the Bible this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, the website is openthebible.org and our phone number is 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
who in your life needs to know the God of the Bible and might be willing to open the Bible with you if you ask them? Most people can think of someone, and many are finding that someone in their life is open to this invitation. Would you be interested in opening the Bible with me? Fly Through the Bible is a short, simple, and shareable book that will help you open the Bible with a friend, a neighbor, or a loved one who needs to know Jesus. It's also freely available online. Fly Through the Bible has 15 short sections, each with 5 discussable questions that will open conversations around the Word of God. For more information, visit openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly.